Thank you, Kelly. God's Word. In Sunday morning, one of the verses we looked at, and I'll read it, because my memory is not the greatest, but 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable, useful, for teaching, for reproof or for rebuke, for correction, and for training in righteousness, and verse 17, that the man of God may be complete and equipped, ready for every good work. That was quite a bit of scripture for one sermon, and of course we won't be able to go over all of it in this morning's message. I remember when Nick was helping with the youth, and this probably now was, it may have been about 10 years ago, out of Nick remembers. And Nick did a study through the whole book of Hebrews. And for some of you youth who are still here will remember the whole theme that was Jesus is better. Jesus is better. He's better than anything we face. He's better than anything that might distract us. And he's the prize. And it's so neat in singing that song. And says, when the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, not I, but Christ in me. And I pray for this morning's message that is Christ, all Christ that we preach. I'm going to pray, but before I pray, I want to tell a story. And because it's Wes, this story is about a little boy. And his name was Ungamunga. And Ungamunga had a sister, and her name was Jennifer. And like little boys do to the little sisters, Ungamunga was bragging to Jennifer about how fast he was. He said, Jennifer, I'm so much faster than you are. You're so slow, and I'm super fast. And when their mom and dad took them to the park, Ungamunga told Jennifer, let's race around the park. And he started to run as fast as he could. And he beat Jennifer around that park. And he said, see how fast I am? I could probably run a marathon this fast. And Jennifer asked him, what's a marathon? And Ungamunga said, I don't know. But I know it's a very long race. And I bet I could run it really, really fast and probably win a big prize for winning that race. Their mom and dad overheard them and said, do you really want to know what running a marathon is actually like? Do you know the marathon is 26.2 miles? That's like running from Kahului to Ka'anapali. In fact, the marathon is from Kahului to Ka'anapali. And since it's a marathon, you can't just get up and run it. You need to get ready for the race because it's a long race and it's a hard race. You need to know what to expect. You need to know where's the starting line and where's the finish line. You need to understand that when you run this very long race, there's a specific course for you to follow. And if you go off course, you're disqualified from the race. You need to train correctly, and you need to train hard for a race like a marathon. Then, you need to get in the race. You need to pay the cost for getting in the race. And you need to show up at the right places or the right place at the right time. Then once the race starts, you run the race. You don't walk. You don't coast, but you run. But at the same time, you don't sprint, but you run with endurance and you run with purpose. You stay within the course that is set before you. You don't stray off course. And you're aware that conditions will change during the race. Stay focused till you reach the end goal. Stay focused till you reach the finish line, because you will get tired in this marathon. You will have pain in this marathon. And at times, you will feel that you cannot go any further. But keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the finish line and run the race well and finish well. Remind yourselves, others have trained for the same race. Others have run the same race and they've run it well. Look to them as your example so that you can have confidence that you too can finish the race. And do you know that God's word teaches us about running this race of a Christian life, this marathon of a Christian life well? Let's pray. I'm going to pray. I got a text this morning. I call him a young man, though he has two kids and will have one more soon. And I have to find it. He's going to pray for me preaching, that he's going to pray because he loves Hebrews chapter 11. And so I'm going to pray that prayer this morning. So let's pray. Lord, let my mind be clear. Let my mind be focused on you and what you are to have taught this morning, Lord. Let the Spirit be with me. Let all that I hear today hear your word and understand your word and apply it, Lord. Let us not just be hearers of the word, but doers. And let us run this way, this race well, together, encouraging each other. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. 43 verses. So I took some notes. I'll show them to you. So these are the notes. It started with about 28 pages, and it normally takes me 5 or 10 minutes per page. So unlike Ezekiel, I will not be your favorite substitute preacher. The Christian life. In the Bible, describes a Christian life as a life of perseverance, a life that will face persecution, a life that will face obstacles in. It's compared to being in a war, and we're soldiers in that war. It's compared to being in a boxing match. It's compared to being in a wrestling match. A lot of times when it talks about that, it uses that word where we get the word agonize from. Not because it's a bad word. It's great if you train hard and you do your athletic events well. And in today's verses, the Christian life is described as a race, but not a short race, a long, hard race. And the Word of God tells us to run this race well requires, right? Requires. It's not an option. It requires faith. Amen. Right? And what is faith? Faith is having an absolute certainty in an unseen or yet to be seen reality. Right? Being certain of something that you do not yet see. Believing and trusting in something without needing to see it or even to understand everything about it. That's faith. And you might say, but I don't have much faith. I need to see things to believe it. Sure, all of us have a lot of faith in things we don't see and things we don't understand. For example, the pews that we're all sitting on. But you're like, I can see the pew. I know it's strong enough. It doesn't take much faith. But how about the the pew maker. These pews are really old. I'm sure none of us knew who the maker of these pews were. We don't know really what materials went in to make the pew. We don't know if the right design and workmanship was in the pew, but we sit in it. We trust in this pew. Maybe because we've seen many others sit in the same pew, and the pew has proven to be trustworthy. And they have testified to the strength of the pew. And so we show faith not just in the pew, but in the pew maker. How about our cars? How do we know that car was designed correctly? How do we know that car was put together correctly? Yet, we sit in that car and we put our life in the hands of that car. We put the life of our family in the hands of that car. How do we know that it's going to stop when it's supposed to stop or turn when it's supposed to turn? Were we there when that car was designed? Did we see it being put together? Did we see the workmanship? Do we know how those unseen parts work together? We trust in the car because others have driven cars, and they give witness to the design and the workmanship and the trustworthiness of the cars. So we trust in the car, even though there's a lot in it that to us is unseen. We need that same kind of faith in God, a God that we cannot see, but a God whose workmanship and whose design we can trust. He created the universe. Do we trust his plans? Do we trust him even if we can't see him with our natural senses? Do we trust that he will hold us up? Do we trust that he will take us where we need to go? In this Christian life, we need faith at every step. Hebrews 11, starting in verse 1. We're not going to go through all 43 verses. But Hebrews 11, starting in verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Other versions say faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is this assurance or this substance? It's this thing that we stand on of this guaranteed reality that we either don't see or it's sometime in the future. It's this firm foundation knowing that we can trust God at his word. The things we hope for, the things in the future, they will be fulfilled. Not they may be fulfilled, they will be fulfilled. And that's our assurance. That's our the substance. And what is this conviction or evidence? It's the present reality of things that are unseen. God created the world. We didn't see it. Things that we sit on the pew, now we know from science that is made up of things that we cannot see. Do we believe that? Do we believe that our sin against a holy God can be forgiven with no work done on our part? That is all through Christ. The evidence is this outward manifestation of our inward assurance. It's evidence that's shown in our living out our belief in the promises of God. Right? The living out of our belief in the promises of God. Christian faith is doing God's will as revealed in God's word. Taking and trusting God at his word in every situation. We do it because God said it. Period. Faith. Trusting God again more than what we can see or hear or touch or more than our natural senses. Trusting God more than we feel emotionally, because sometimes emotionally we don't feel like trusting God, but we trust God. Trusting God more than we can think intellectually, right? Some of us, we like to really study a lot. And sometimes things in the Bible may not make sense to our intellect. but yet we still trust God. Trusting God more than we personally prefer. You know, in Sunday school today, we talked about God's word should judge our hearts. But a lot of times, we judge God's word. We want God's word to be what we prefer it to be. No, God's word judges our hearts. Why? Why can we trust our unseen, holy, loving Creator God? Why? Because God is more dependable than we are. God is more dependable and more faithful than anybody on earth. He can be trusted more than our natural senses. He can be trusted more than our emotions. He can be trusted more than our intellect. He can be trusted more than our preferences. And as we trust Him, and as we are faithful, our Christian life, the evidence in our life, will live in such a way to show others we believe in God, because we believe in that ultimate treasure and ultimate pleasure that we will have in being in the presence of holy God and His glory eternally. The Old Testament saints that we read about in the, you know, all of chapter 11, why were they approved? Because of faith. Faith and nothing else, right? Faith alone. Hebrews, we're going to jump to verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It is impossible to please God without faith. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists. Right? God is who He is. God is who He is as the Bible describes Him. Very well. Believe that He exists, this great unseen God, and that He rewards, right? He'll reward us with forgiveness of our sin. He rewards us with righteousness forever. To who? Those who seek Him, those who diligently, earnestly seek Him because of His convicting us. Faith alone pleases God. Works don't please God apart from faith. Religion does not please God apart from faith. God's plan was never to save man by works or religion. God's plan from the very beginning was to save man by faith alone. By faith alone. A works-based system or a works-based religion, if you have been in any church or religion like that, it's a corruption of God's plan. God's plan is faith in Christ alone, faith. Faith is not one way to please God. It's the only way to please Him. But not faith in faith, but faith in Jesus, right? Faith in Christ. We're going to jump for now to verse 39, Hebrews 11, verses 39 and 40. So all these men and women that Kelly so great, thank you, Kelly, for reading and us listening to God's word, right? All these, though commended, right? They had this good testimony through their faith, they did not receive what was promised. Right? They did not receive what was promised. But yet they still had faith. How is that a lesson for us? Did God's promises still come true for these people, even though they never received it while they're alive? Yes, because God is faithful. They did not receive what was promised, right? They looked forward to the coming of Christ. In verse 40, since God had provided something better for us, Jesus is better. Right? That apart from us, they should not be made perfect or complete. So they look forward to the Savior. We can look back now in Scripture, right, to Christ's coming, that He fulfilled the promise of a Savior. And they're recognized, the Old Testament saints, as heroes of faith again. Not for their accomplishments, right? Not for their works. Not for their status. Not for their abilities or talents. They're recognized, they're approved because of faith. Because of faith that God will be faithful to keep His promises, that God is always faithful. Even if they didn't see His promises come true in their lifetimes. Abel, who by faith offered a sacrifice, Enoch, who by faith did not see death, Noah, who by faith built the ark. And remembered, we believe that it had never rained until then. There was not water. There was no need for a ship. And it took him 120 years. But Noah believed God. He had assurance and conviction. He had substance and he had evidence of his faith. Abraham, who by faith obeyed when he was called out to a land that he didn't know where he was going. By faith he offered up Isaac, his only begotten son, because he believed that God would fulfill his promises, right? That he'd be the father of many nations, even if he had no son, because somehow God would make it work, because God is faithful. He had assurance and conviction. He had substance and evidence. Sarah, by faith, received strength to conceive when it was impossible for her to conceive. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph. Joseph gave instructions concerning his bones. Although, where were they? They were in Egypt. But he had faith that God's promises would be fulfilled, even if not in his lifetime. Moses, who by faith was hidden by his parents, and when he was of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and by faith passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. Right? Others who were tortured, mocked, scourged, put in chains, imprisoned, stoned, sawn in two, tempted, slain with the sword, wandered in sheepskins, were destitute, afflicted, and tormented. They were faithful. They believed God at his word. They believed God had promised something better than anything they would have to face in their lifetime, and he could be trusted. And they acted on that faith. They acted on that belief. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and these witnesses, right, they're not around cheering us on, they are testifiers of God's faithfulness. Right? We can look at them and say, God is faithful. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, so who's us? Us is us. Right? In context this time, the Jewish believers, for us, it's current believers. So what do we need to do? Lay aside every weight. Lay aside every weight. Lay aside every hindrance to this race and the sin which so closely entangles or so easily entangles or easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Amen. What are these weights and these sins that we're to remove and lay aside? Anything, again, that would slow us down. Think about a marathon. Can you imagine someone running the marathon with like this heavy coat and ankle weights and being a little overweight? They wouldn't be the best runners in that race. It's the same thing in our Christian life. Sometimes our past lives are a heavyweight. Past things that have happened in our lives. All of us have a story. Jesus wants to be our story. Sometimes we're distracted by our works-based religion. We think we have to work harder or study harder. Sometimes it's our traditions or our culture. Sometimes it's our status. Sometimes it's just amusements of this world. Sometimes it's friendships that we have. What hinders us from running this Christian race, from being faithful to Christ? Leave these things behind, the Bible tells us, because Jesus is better. Amen. Jesus is better. And sin, anything we do wrong according to God's standards. Because sin ensnares us and entangles us, not so that we cannot run, but we can't even walk. And many of us have been there, where we're just ensnared. And when we sin, it's the opposite of faith, right? It's unbelief. It's not trusting God. It's saying, God, I don't have faith to do what you believe. God, I believe in something more than I believe in you. I trust something more than what your word says. I trust the lie instead of trusting your truth. Think about Unga Munga running that marathon with a rope tied around his feet, with ankle weights, with a heavy coat, and the other side of that rope tied to his couch. How effectively could he run that race? You know, some of us think we can run the Christian race like that, and we wonder why we're not running well. All scripture is useful for teaching, for rebuking us, for correcting us, and for training us in righteousness, so that we may be sanctified to be more like Christ, to honor him more. So we must lay aside every weight and sin. And we must be aware that sin is always there waiting for us. Which weights and sins do we lay aside? What does the Word of God say? Every weight and every sin. And to run and finish this race well, we need to run with endurance. Not casually, not full speed, but with patience and endurance. This race is a marathon. This race is described as agonizing. It's demanding. It's going to require a lot of effort, self-discipline, self-control, right? Sober-mindedness, training, determination, and perseverance. It requires endurance. Under difficulty, under challenges, under struggles, to stand firm, to keep going towards the finish line. And God has set a specific course for us to run. And we are to run the course that God has set for us with faithfulness and endurance. How do we know if we're on course or off course? The Word of God. Amen. Right? All scripture is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. Verse 2 in Hebrews 12. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What are we focused on as we live our Christian lives? Are we focused, again, on our past? Are we focused on ourself? Are we focused on our situation? Are we focused on our problems? Or are we focused on our status? Are we focused on our success? Or are we focused on others? What other people have or don't have? What other people said or didn't say? Or did or didn't do? What does God's word tell us to do? God's word tells us to look at, to gaze, to fix our eyes on Jesus. Jesus is better. What you look at in a race is important. Can you imagine someone running a marathon looking down at their feet? Keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes on the finish line. Look to Jesus. He is the giver of our faith. He's the originator of our faith. He's the grantor of our faith. And he is the sustainer of our faith. And he will be the completer of our faith. He's the one who starts us in this race. He's the one who brings us to the finish line. He's the supreme and better example. He's the perfect model. So yes, look at these Old Testament saints as examples, but Jesus is the perfect model. He's the perfect example. He has perfectly run the race. And where do we find out about Jesus? In Scripture, in the Word of God. Just in the book of Hebrews, this is what it says about Jesus. Jesus is God's final revelation. Jesus is the heir of all things. Jesus is the creator of the world. Jesus, right, is the radiance of God's glory. Jesus is the exact imprint of God's nature. Jesus upholds the universe by the word of his power. He has made purification for sins. He sits at the right hand of the majesty on high. He is God, enthroned forever with a scepter of uprightness. He is worshiped by the angels. His rule will have no end. His joy is above all other beings in the universe. He took on human flesh in obedience to God. He was crowned with glory and honor because of his suffering. He is the founder of our salvation. He was made perfect in all his obedience by his suffering. He destroyed the one who has the power of death, the devil. He's destroyed the devil, right? He's delivered us from the bondage of fear. He is merciful. He is a faithful and high priest. He made propitiation for sins. He is the satisfying sacrifice for the wrath of God for our sins. He is sympathetic because of his own trials, right? He understands what we go through. He can comfort us. He never sinned. He offered up loud cries and tears with reverent fear, and God heard him. He became the source of eternal salvation. He holds his priesthood by virtue of an indestructible life. He appears in the presence of God on our behalf. He will come a second time to save us who are eagerly waiting for him. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is better. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Jesus is the great reward. And how could he face such shame with joy? Because he had assurance and he had conviction. In the goodness of God and certainty of God's future promises, he had joy of exalting and glorifying Almighty God even on the cross. We can have joy in exalting and glorifying Almighty God in every situation that we face. And Scripture encourages us. Hebrews 12, verse 3. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, such hostility that Jesus went through on our behalf for God's glory, so that we may not grow weary or faint-hearted, so that we may not be discouraged, so that we may not lose heart, so that we may be encouraged to run this race well. When you feel tired, when sinners show you hostility, consider Jesus and the hostility he received. Show endurance like Christ showed endurance. Trust God like Christ trusted God. Do not be discouraged. Do not lose heart. Look to Jesus and be strengthened. Finish the race well. Okay. Whew. Not too bad. Application time. 10 more pages. No. Application. So what is God leading us to do in our lives based on his word? What is God leading us to do in our lives based on his word? All the time, right? Right? Not just when you listen to sermons, it's like when you study at home. What is God leading us to do? To be more like him, to be sanctified. Number one, get in the race by faith. Right? Get in the race by faith. Number two, run the race with endurance by faith. Number three, receive the prize by faith. Number one, get in the race by faith. The race starts when we become believers in Christ, when we trust Christ as payment for our sins. If you're not a believer, you know what? Sometimes the world just doesn't make sense. Let me tell you this. Only God, who created the universe, can make sense of this world. If you're not a believer in Christ, sometimes this world does not provide satisfaction. Only God, who created us, can fully satisfy us, eternally satisfy us. You know, I have these deep questions that I can't answer. Do you know God created reason? And so he's the only answer to our questions. Do you wonder what your purpose is? Do you trust God as the designer of this universe? Do you trust God as the planner of this universe? Because in his word, he says he's designed and planned things with purpose. Everything from the beginning of time to eternity, God will give purpose and meaning to our lives. The Bible teaches us that all of us are sinners and we've broken God's rules and we cannot be with God. We're separated from him forever. And so we're not even in the race. And because of our sin, the Bible tells us we're under God's wrath and God's punishment. And the Bible teaches we can't do anything about that on our own. You know, we talked about in a Sunday school class before, there's this thing called the plumb line. And so plumb line goes up and down, and you can tell if the wall is straight or not from that plumb line. If the wall is crooked, can the wall make itself straight? No. All the plumb line does, God's words does, is tell us that we are crooked. Jesus makes us straight. God, because of his great love for us, sent Christ to live a perfect life so that he could be that sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice for us. If you're not a believer in Christ, if you're not yet in this race, please believe in the unseen God. Believe that God is who he says he is. Believe that God's promises come true. Turn from your sin. Turn to God and be saved. Amen. And for those who have trusted God and now you've entered the race, you have meaning in your lives that we cannot even imagine. We have purpose in our lives that we cannot even imagine. We have assurance of God's promises, right? It's a foundation we can stand on, and we can give evidence to this hope that we have. Run the race with endurance by faith. I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. It's a long and grueling race. It has a beginning, it has a course to follow, and it has an end. It's not a stroll through the park, it's not a jog around the neighborhood, it's not aimless just running to run or putting in effort for effort's sake. There's a purpose and there's a goal to our running. It's a race that we want to run hard and we want to win, but our competition is not against each other. We encourage each other. Our competition is the world. Our competition is our flesh. Our competition, right, is our sinful nature and the devil. We need to lay aside every weight and sin so we can run well. Amen. Let us be encouraged by the testimony and witnesses of faithful men and women. I looked at our 2008 member directory. 11 years ago, there's a bunch of people still here. What I wanted to do is ask members who are here that have been members of this church, let's say for over 20 years, if you're able to, can you stand up if you've been members here for over 20 years? I know you are, I know you are, I know you are, in the back there, right? We have witnesses and testifiers to God's faithfulness here in our very midst. And there's many others who have been believers for more than 50 years. Meet them. You know what's so sweet? Victoria Blondo is a senior in high school, or almost a senior in high school, starting school soon. A few times, or maybe a couple times at least, she's taking my mother-in-law out to breakfast to just sit and talk. And I bet there's some encouragement going on there. You know, there's some that have been faithful members of this church that aren't here today. because now they're with the Lord. Or because they physically are unable to attend. But like those Old Testament saints, does their witness and does their life still speak to us today? I remember Dan and Pat Ongai when I first came here. Jerry's not able to come much now, but Jerry Hirai, Karen Hirai, I think we're members here for a very, very, very long time. And when I think about them, I'm encouraged. I remember Florence Yotsuya, who's now also not able to attend. I remember she was in her 70s or 80s and still serving, counting. Elaine was still serving till recently. Remember Hilda Imoto, sitting right there. Many others. They encourage us. They still speak. My father-in-law still speaks about the faithfulness of God. The point of this is that there are many examples and testifiers and witnesses of God's faith, right? It's nothing that, again, it's God's being faithful. Because we're not perfect, not by a long shot. Talk to Paula. Inside joke, Paula's my daughter. Talk to Warren, you'll get even a bigger earful. But they're testifiers of the value of having faith in God. In Philippians 3:13-14, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let's look to Jesus, our better and perfect example, and let's run with endurance through obstacles. Let's run with endurance through dark times, through temptations, through battles. Let's remain faithful. Let's remain firm when there's storms and sometimes even winds of doubt. Let's remain faithful and run with endurance in suffering and in sorrow. And the hope we thought we once had now seems hopeless. And sometimes there are even floods of unbelief. Let's look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let us be encouraged and strengthened. And sometimes it even seems that good has lost and evil has won. Look to Christ, our steady anchor. Let's hold fast with assurance and conviction to his promises. Because we know the glory of eternity with Christ is better than anything we can face here. And so we can be calm in whatever storm we face, and we can run well and finish the race and receive the prize by faith. Philippians 1:6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ. Receive the prize by faith. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is revealed to us. Romans 8:18. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. To hear one day Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." 2 Timothy 4:7-8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished this long, hard, yet joyful, glorious race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. This race is not easy, but the reward, Jesus forever, is much more than worth it. Before we pray, P.S. When he was older, Unga Munga ran a marathon. He completed the race. Will we complete this faith race well? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for Christ, that we can look to him. That when we try to live by faith, Lord, it is so hard sometimes. But you encourage us, you strengthen us. Your word teaches us. Your word rebukes us. Your word corrects us. It takes us from being off course to on course. And your word gives us joy. It trains us in righteousness, Lord. And I thank you for that. I pray, Lord, for myself and our church, our fellow believers, Lord, that we strengthen and encourage each other, that we be testifiers of your faithfulness, Lord. Please, Lord, give us the faith to run well through everything that we go through in this life, because you are faithful, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.